Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM Silver City. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Healer Resources Information Project, and I'm talking with Sierra Club's Camilla Feibelman about hydrogen power. Is it really a net benefit to the climate or a losing proposition? Camilla has led the advocacy efforts on climate legislation this past session. So, Camilla, thanks for that really great background on hydrogen. What I want to do now is shift gears to the session. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, she backed the Hydrogen Hub Act, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, it caused a huge amount of controversy. Tell us what this act was all about.
Yeah, so, you know, there were a lot of different players, I think, you know, really advocating for a very generalized and problematic approach to hydrogen. And I think it's worth just starting with the companies. You know, first you have BayoTech based out of Albuquerque, and they have these kind of standalone units that convert natural gas into hydrogen. They don't capture the carbon in any way, shape, or form. And right now, they're working with New Mexico Gas Company to do a pilot project with this stuff and are wanting customers to pay for the project. So some of our colleagues are, you know, kind of debating that at the PRC. And then another company is taking an approach to the Escalante coal-fired power plant in Pruitt near Gallup. And they're saying, we're going to take this recently retired coal-fired power plant and we're going to turn it back on and we are going to harvest hydrogen. We're going to burn that hydrogen and we are going to create electric power. But, you know, this is a millions over millions of dollar project, you know, that's going to lead to energy that I'm not sure who would buy because renewables and battery storage is so much cheaper. And so to us, you know, although, you know, like we do really understand where I think the House Finance Chair, Patty Lundstrom, is coming from. You know, this is her district. The coal-fired power plant recently closed. And, you know, I think she wants to see employment opportunities in her district. And, you know, if this were an environmentally sound proposal, be able to do both things. But the problem is that the science just isn't there. So what the original Hydrogen Hub bill did was to say, you know, you can get all sorts of tax credits in order to come here to New Mexico and sort of do this fossil-fueled hydrogen. They weren't really dealing with water-based hydrogen at all. And there was no regulation. There was nothing saying, you know, this is the limit of carbon that you can, you know, produce when you're doing this. It just said, if you can get down to this much carbon pollution, then you get this much of a tax break in our state. And to us, that just doesn't make any sense. We are not at a moment in this climate crisis where incentivizing any sort of fossil fuel extraction is acceptable. And we made that known. And I think the legislators heard that. And, you know, even Patty Lundstrom, you know, to her credit, you know, really listened and, you know, sort of, I think, worked towards a bill that could be more workable, but just wasn't something that we and our colleagues could support because it really was more than anything incentives to private fossil fuel companies.
Right. And so tell us a little bit about the opposition that was, you know, came from environmental advocates as well as frontline communities, right? And was very successful in pushing back on all of these different bills. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, you know, early on, you know, months before the session, we were starting to hear that there was a push, you know, to do some sort of hydrogen hub legislation in this session. And we also knew that at the federal level, that there was a drive to get hydrogen money out to different communities around the country, this $8 billion coming through the infrastructure bill. And, you know, at that point, we were sort of realized we had a lot of learning to do, and that not only did we have a lot of learning to do, but the agency folks had a lot of learning to do. Legislators were like, I don't know what this issue is and how do I handle it? And the same with the press. You know, reporters are under a lot of pressure to meet deadlines, but also understand fairly confusing science. So thanks to, you know, our own staff, Mona Blaber, our communications director, really dug in deep to understand the issues, to simplify them in ways that people could actually understand. And we spent a lot of time really interpreting what these proposals were. On the one hand, the business end proposals, and on the other hand, the legislative proposals, and really made the case that this was being rushed. And, you know, that is fairly typical of the legislative process. You know, there had been a clean fuels piece of legislation last session that we just weren't able to support because it didn't aspire enough in terms of carbon reductions. It didn't prioritize frontline communities enough. But over a year of talking and looking at it, it became something that we could support. And I'm not saying that with that type of workshopping, we could support anything close to similar to what these bills were. But there was a lot of rush. You know, there was first kind of hearing about hydrogen interests over the summer and then having to interpret all of that and not really seeing a final bill till, boy, maybe a month or 3 weeks before the session. And then, you know, there were different interests involved with, like, what should the bill do or what should it not do? And questions of whether, you know, is this bill going to get passed and we better, you know, kind of make it the best we can versus really just laying out how totally unacceptable this thing was. And I think that's where most of us landed, that this just wasn't going to work. And it doesn't mean in the larger scale that anybody's wrong. You know, you can understand where the governor is coming from. She's saying, I've got to stimulate this economy. I have to figure out what to do with this oil and gas industry that's so pervasive in our state. And if this is a solution, I'm going to get excited about it. You know, I can understand that perspective. But at the same time, you know, we just really needed to dig in on the science. And frankly, the Sierra Club has a very clear and firm position that's unshakable, which is we do not support gray, blue, any kind of fossil fueled hydrogen because the science just doesn't bear it out.
Yeah. And Camilla, maybe you could just briefly tell us about the Stanford University report that came out that basically said hydrogen would be three times more polluting than coal. Is that right?
Right. Well, let's take a step back just to understand. I feel like my whole world is the name of different molecules. Like sometimes I talk about hydrogen, sometimes I talk about methane, sometimes I talk about carbon. And that's because, you know, that is what, you know, it's all in the science, right? So let's just understand, again, going back to the beginning of our conversation, where hydrogen comes from. So you either have to get the hydrogen from the water or from natural gas. And so what this bill was talking about was getting hydrogen from natural gas. Well, where do you get natural gas? Up in the San Juan Basin, most of what is extracted is natural gas directly. That's what the wells are pumping. Down in the Permian Basin, it's mostly oil. But that liquid oil comes up with what's called associated gas. And so throughout the extraction of that oil, you're getting natural gas. And so the oil producers have to figure out, what do we do with that gas? Do we put it into pipelines? Do those pipelines exist? Is there any sort of like on-site storage that we can use and then use it on-site? So at least methane, which is this hugely potent greenhouse gas, is being converted into CO2, which is still a gas, but it is slightly less potent over a certain period of time. So why is this methane question an issue when it comes to hydrogen? Well, if you are extracting natural gas, whether directly or associated with oil, and it is spewing into the atmosphere, either because it's accidentally leaking or because you are venting it to keep the pressure down. Like in these oil and gas systems, a lot of pressure can build up, and that's super dangerous. So you don't want that pressure to build up. So what they do is that they vent it, and that's on purpose. Sometimes they flare it. And as terrible as it looks, you know, with those flares, they're converting that methane into CO2 and ostensibly burning off some of the other pollutants. But it doesn't always work very well. And it's not something we want to see happen, partly because this is a publicly held natural resource being extracted off public lands by private people for their own profit. So when we look at what is the carbon impact for this entire process, we have to say, well, how much are they venting and flaring? How much is this stuff leaking? And what does that mean for the climate? So, you know, we haven't always been super clear on how much gas is leaking in our extractive systems. But recently, a Stanford study came out that said, you know, basically, of all the gas being captured in the Permian Basin, about 10% of it is just being emitted into the atmosphere, whether purposely or out of neglect. And that's a huge, huge problem. It's a way higher rate than any of us would have expected. It's just one study, but there are many other studies showing that emissions of methane throughout our oil producing region are way higher than is being reported.
Okay. So basically then I think what you're saying is because blue hydrogen uses gas or fossil fuel for production, that you're also sort of inherently getting all of those extra methane emissions and other emissions just because the process is just so dirty. Anyway, it's just, it just seems pretty unbelievable. Well, I have one last question here in the remaining couple minutes here in this segment. You know, the governor has said that she did an interview with Searchlight New Mexico and said that, you know, hydrogen power in New Mexico is key to addressing issues of social justice in frontline communities as we transition to a renewable energy economy. And, you know, do you agree with this? Is she sort of off base with that perspective?
Well, I would say so, unfortunately. I mean, the governor has really led on an array of climate-based issues, and it's complicated being a governor in a, you know, oil and gas producing state with income to our budget. Although I will flag, doesn't really seem to track whether oil and gas is doing well and whether our kids and families are doing well. And I think that's pretty true of most extractive places. Somebody else is benefiting. It's not our families. It's not our schools. You know, if you could see a relationship, okay, maybe there'd be a conversation to have. But I think that the confusion is just sort of a generalizing of the idea of hydrogen. But if you live, let's say, next to the Escalante plant that's suddenly burning hydrogen and, you know, the on the ground nitrous oxide pollution is increasing, or you have a natural gas well within the vicinity of your home that isn't being properly cared for. And even if it's following the methane rules to the letter of the law, we're still only talking about like generally a 65% pollution reduction by 2030. We're not talking about 100%. So then during the session, people were saying, well, we'll get third party verification and we'll go out there and we'll do field testing to make sure that this stuff is being captured. But we are talking about an odorless, invisible gas that is very difficult to manage. And it leaks throughout the oil and gas extractive process. So the idea that you can get to zero carbon emissions with fossil fueled hydrogen is just not true. There is no evidence of that. There are no rules on the books anywhere in the world that have gotten us down to zero on fossil fuels. So we just have to deal with the science. We've dealt with the science on COVID. Now we need to deal with the science on oil and gas and climate change. And if we don't, our kids are the ones who are going to pay that price if they aren't already. I mean, how many homes have burned just this week because of climate change powered fires in southern New Mexico? So it is time to face the music.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's take a break and then we'll return for the second half of our show as we continue our conversation about the myth of hydrogen power as a climate solution. Don't go away.